Hey, Fatheads, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings, Episode 9, Cheese and Chocolate, or What the Heck is Cigar Surgeon Thinking? Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Thanks for our AFRN listeners for tuning in. I'm here, as always, with my special guest, regular host, guest host, Rob. Rob, what's going on?
There's nothing special about me anymore.
No, you're just old hat at this point?
Yeah, it's you know, every time there's a show, I'll be here.
Should we just call you a regular co-host now, like, at this point?
I think enough shows. I think so. I mean, it's up to you. It's your show, but...
Like, I know what I'm doing. I mean, at this point, I'm just making it up as I go, and I just, you know, deal with confidence so people think I know what I'm talking about. Just kidding, guys. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't...
That's the fun part about it. All right, so tell me about what the hell you're thinking.
So, what's interesting I thought about this show is that it seemed to generate a lot of talk. You know, we've done a lot of shows. So, I mean, it was show 9 already. And most of our shows entirely have been either about drink-related stuff or just entirely about drinks. And one of the things that I personally enjoy, and I know that this is kind of a hot topic, is I actually enjoy a cigar with a meal. Now, a lot of people don't like smoking when they're eating. Some people smoke afterwards. I actually really enjoy smoking while I'm eating. I don't get to do it a lot. Usually if the weather's warm, which it is this week in Canada, yay! Or if I'm in some tropical place, Florida, California, Cuba, whatever, I take every opportunity. So one of the things that I like with tastings is pairing with food, and one of the most common things that they pair with is cheese. Cheese is all over the board in terms of flavors and complexity. I would liken it to scotch, where you've got mild and floral, and you've got heavy and smoky, and then you've got the funky, whatever that cheese might be, the foot cheese. So for me, it seemed like a natural extension of our pairing show, and if it derives some interesting discussion and some people asking me whether I need to be put away and wrapped up in a straitjacket, I'm okay with that.
So, my issue with pairing with food is, well, I guess I just don't consider it a pairing in the same way that I do with a beverage, even though we do the exact same thing. Because, I mean, I don't take a puff, have the smoke in my mouth, and then take a drink, right? And I'm not going to do that with the food, because that's what the image conjures up to me. It's like, oh, well, I'm puffing out smoke, and while I'm chewing on whatever, a piece of steak or whatever, and that to me is disgusting. So, I guess that's why I've never really thought of it. But I'm intrigued by this with the chocolate. And the cheese, I think, is going to be interesting. We'll see. But, I mean, I've got an open mind. But just to let everybody know, we're smoking the El Cedro. that's what we're smoking today. It's not called the 14K. It's just called El Cedro. And that's... 14K thing down there. It doesn't actually say 14K. It says cedar in another language, and the language is escaping me. But watch the Cigar Chat episode with Anwar, and you'll get more detail on it. This is one of my favorite cigars from last year. I think, John, this is the first time you were smoking it, so tell us a little bit about your impressions on this one.
I mean, it's interesting because, like you said, it is my first time smoking it, which is really a shame. My initial impressions... We were talking previous to the show starting. I said, immediately recognize it is a Dominican cigar. It's pretty clearly Dominican. I don't say that in a disparaging way. It's just Dominican cigars have a particular profile to them where they're typically more hay and light. And I initially got a lot of graham cracker, a lot of sweetness, but there's a little bit of pepper there, which I enjoy. Like not medium bodied, but like just enough to give you a little bit in the back of the tongue. And so far, I mean, it's a shame I didn't review this because, honestly, so far, I would say that this would probably make my top 10 cigars, and I'm only an inch in. And usually if I'm smoking a cigar and I'm an inch in and I'm thinking this is a top 10 cigar, that's a pretty good cigar for me, especially because, as you know, I tend to gravitate towards fuller-bodied, more peppery Nicaraguan cigars, and it usually takes a lot for a Dominican cigar to blow me away. And so far, I got to say, like a... I'm glad you suggested this for the show because I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, it's a nice cigar out of the Kellner Boutique Factory. It is Dominican. I don't have the specs in front of me, but I believe that we have reviewed it. If not, we'll have to very soon. I was under the impression that we did, and I think I might have. It's been a long year and a half.
So, it's been a lot of reviews.
Yeah, for real. So we got a ton of stuff here. We got a short amount of time, so let's jump in.
What do you got? You want to start with your cheeses?
Let's start with chocolate.
All right, so what do you got for chocolate?
If you guys are watching on Cigar Federation, I've got photos posted of everything. I've got a Trader Joe's basic dark chocolate. Okay. I don't know. It's from Belgium. Then I've got I went to Trader Joe's for all this stuff, so I'm kind of, I wouldn't say I'm sponsored by it because I actually paid for it, but this is organic 72% cocoa Belgian dark chocolate. And then, I don't think this is going to pair well, but this is one of my favorite things they have. Dark chocolate bar with caramel and black sea salt. And that is fantastic. 70% cocoa.
So what's interesting about that is I was this close to getting a 72% dark chocolate with sea salt, and I regret not doing it because I think that's an interesting combination in its own right.
So
it'll be interesting to hear your thoughts on that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got similar lines, a Madagascar 70% cocoa, Ecuador 75% cocoa. I wasn't able to find any Nicaraguan chocolate, which really bums me out because I'd love to try Nicaraguan chocolate. And then just a very basic Swiss classic milk chocolate with some nuts. I know a lot of people like to crap on milk chocolate. And, you know, it's kind of the weak sauce of chocolate, but hey man, I like it. It tastes good. It's got a nice, rich mouthfeel to it, and you know, we're not above looking down our noses at people. We're not about looking down our noses at people at this show. So if you don't like it, too bad for you. So I'm gonna throw myself on mute because I don't think anyone wants to hear me eating, and I'm gonna try a bite of the Madagascar to start and just see how that is.
You're gonna start with the Madagascar. I'll While you're doing that, I'm going to jump in with just like, this is a standard dark chocolate. I don't know what the percent, ooh, it's Belgian.
Usually if it doesn't say, it's probably not that high.
I don't know, but.
So Madagascar is interesting. I mean, it's definitely got that little bit of bitterness of dark chocolate. It's good. I mean, it's interesting. Try with the cigar now.
You know, with the El Cedro, it's got that, like you said, it's got that little mild spice to it.
Mm-hmm.
Spice. And pairing it with this dark chocolate, which this just tastes like a standard dark chocolate if you've had like the Hershey's Special Dark or anything like that. It tastes just like that. It's got that thick creaminess to it. It's a little bit bitter, but it's not. It's good, but there's nothing special about it. But
I would agree. This doesn't blow me away. I find that it's actually a little dry for me. The combination of the cigar and the chocolate. So I'm going to move up to the 75%, which is probably not going to be better. I'd imagine as it go up in the cocoa percentage here. We'll see.
You muted right as I took a puff. I think the
My timing is terrible.
The interesting thing for me is it's a little bit different than pairing with a beverage. Like,
mm-hmm.
When you're pairing with a drink, you take a sip, you take a puff, you take a sip, you take a puff. Not necessarily the same thing here. I'm not going to take a bite of the chocolate, have a bunch of chocolate kind of gooey in my mouth, and then puff on the cigar because that's gross. It's more the lingering flavor of the chocolate for me and how it how it plays with the flavor of the cigar. Really, the chocolate kind of overpowers it. The main thing that I get out of the cigar while I'm tasting this chocolate with it is that spice, that mild white pepper spice that's in the back, seems to jump out a little bit more. Ozzy just wanted to know what the cigar was. Ozzy, we're smoking El Cedro. It was released last year out of the Kellner Boutique Factory. I don't think it's Dominican Puro. I should have done my due diligence and pulled up the specs on the cigar before I did that, but I didn't. You can go to I think it's elcedrocigars.com and you can check them out.
They're pretty active on social media as well.
Yeah, Anwar's a good guy. So yeah, the pairing for me is is interesting. I don't know. I'm not blown away by it.
You're not blown away. I do actually enjoy the. And maybe it's just the different brand, like the different origin. The 75% is actually kind of tasty with the cigar. I'm getting different flavors off the cigar without the chocolate. There's some sort of rich cedar to it that I'm not getting otherwise. That doesn't really blow me away per se, but it is surprisingly better than the 70%. If we're grading on a scale, it's maybe one or two notches above where the 70% was. So I'm going to move on to the sort of pedestrian white collar Swiss classic, and I'm sure people out there will be rolling their eyes at me.
Nothing wrong with that. It's like a Mr. Good Bar. I can see that we're going to be mainly talking about the different flavors in the chocolate because it's not doing anything for the cigar for me. We probably should have gone with the cigar in retrospect. That's a bit stronger, a bit more bodied with the chocolate, because this chocolate is pretty full. This Belgian 72%, a lot more bitterness to it.
Yep.
But I like it, but it doesn't do, it does nothing for the cigar.
I would agree with that. I think because initially I was really torn between the El Cedro I was going to go with the 601 original blend blue, which is very, very full bodied, very peppery, it's a very full bodied Maduro cigar. And I agree with you. I think that would be a winning combination with a dark chocolate, because that's very instead of being contrasting, they're very complementary in that way. I think you're getting the pepper from the cigar versus the bitter of the chocolate. Yeah. And maybe we'll do that in a follow-up show, but maybe we won't, because I've grossed you out completely.
No, it's not gross. Oddly, and some people even say, like, you eat a little piece of chocolate or something to clear your palate.
Yeah.
Tasting the 72%, I wouldn't recommend eating that to clear your palate. It's got a little kick to it, like a bitterness kick to it. But I think the El Cedro is going to shine a little bit more when we start getting into the cheese.
No, it is definitely better with the Swiss Classic, partially because of the, I think there's definitely some sort of cashew in the chocolate, which really pops with the cigar. And Harley Holmes in chat was nice enough to share the fact that the cigar has the El Cedro has a Dominican wrapper, Dominican filler, Dominican binder, and then the combination filler is Dominican and Nicaraguan. So maybe that's where we're getting a little bit of that slight pepper.
Yeah.
great blend, though. I mean, normally you'd think a Nicaraguan filler would overpower a Dominican filler, and they're very complementary, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to get in on this chocolate with caramel and sea salt just because it's...
So yeah, I'm definitely digging the Swiss Classic and the El Cedro. I think I'm gonna put that aside and come back to that. I think it's partially the phrase creaminess, that mouthfeel off this milk chocolate, and the nuts are a good combination to go with the El Cedro. So I think, you know, if you were to do a food combination, maybe some mixed nuts, some almonds, peanuts, salted peanuts might go really, really well with the El Cedro. Probably not so well with a really, really powerful peppery Maduro.
Yeah, oddly enough, and this is one thing that I learned with doing these shows, pardon my poorly timed drink, is that what I perceive is going to happen with the traffic in the background.
No, that's us. That's our break.
Usually, what I perceive is going to happen is usually completely wrong.
And that's why we do the show.
With the caramel and the sea salt, actually does bring out some of the flavors of the cigar.
Interesting. Well, with that, we'll take our first break here, and we'll be back right after these messages. And we're back. Thanks very much for everyone for tuning in to Sharing Our Pairings, Episode 9. Sorry we missed you last week. Life crops up, as it occasionally does for all of us. So we had the delay to this week. In my case, it was several feet of snow, which, as you can see by the sunshine, has long gone away, but that's life here in Canada. We're doing some chocolate cheese, and so far it's an interesting experience. We're pairing with the El Cedro cigar out of the Dominican. Very, very much enjoying the cigar. The pairing's kind of up and down so far for me.
Yeah, I'm surprised with this, with the chocolate, the caramel, and the sea salt. It's 70% cocoa, so I think that's pretty standard dark chocolate. Maybe a little bit darker than, maybe a little higher percentage than this other one. But that the salt that's in there, the caramel keeps a nice sweetness, obviously. But the salt on there gives it a kind of a crisp finish. It doesn't, the finish doesn't linger as much with some of the other chocolates that we've tried here. I think it allows the flavors of the cigar to come back, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. So it's, I mean, it's not dominating the flavor profile.
Yeah, like you were saying with the nuts and the one that you had, it's something that kind of clears up the it clears up the chocolate residue, if you will.
So I'm going to actually start moving on to cheese because I realize that as we're going, I might have mistimed our pace here with the amount of cheese I have in front of me as I'm starting to make myself fat. So I'm going to start with, and this is probably backwards because I'm going to start with the smoky cheeses. Normally, in my experience with any kind of whiskey pairing, you want to start with the lighter stuff. I'm going to actually do it backwards because, you know, I don't follow the rules. I'm a wild man that way.
You are. You're a rebel.
Rebel. So I'm going to go with an Ilchester Applewood Smoked Cheddar, which, I mean, I'll eat this stuff until I'm 400 pounds because it's delicious. So not sure how it's going to pair with the cigar, but, hey, that's why we're here.
Give it a shot. Just so you know, if you guys are watching on CigarFederation.com, you can see a picture of the different things that we've got. John's got a few cheeses there. I've got a Blue Stilton. That's the big, big, stinky one. Triple Cream Brie, which is... That's right where I'm at. Nice. It's almost like butter.
Yeah, absolutely.
This red Leicester something or other, which is just basic. The description is orange cheese with chilies and red peppers, so I think that one's going to be last. And I've also got an aged cheddar here as well. I'm going to start with the triple cream because I think that's going to be...
I'm working my way around, so I've got Applewood Cheddar, which is okay. It's not bad. It's not great. It's okay. The creaminess, the texture of the cheddar is actually not bad. The smokiness doesn't linger, so it's not overpowering the cigar. I've also got a Smoked Gouda, Aged Gruyere. I've got a Mild Cheddar, Jalapeno Jack, and Jalapeno Hilarity. And the interesting thing that was told to me before the show started was the two of the cheeses I picked up here from Bothwell. And what I didn't know, and my uncle who lives in Manitoba told me, is Bothwell Cheese is actually Canada's largest independently owned cheesemaker. So curiously, I just kind of randomly picked them because I'm certainly not a cheese aficionado, but the company's been around since the 30s. It's you know, pretty big deal because it is an independently owned cheese company, and their cheeses are actually award-winning. So I'm looking forward to actually getting to those on my list. How is the what was the first cheese you picked there?
It's a triple cream brie. I'm trying to read the package here. It's a triple cream soft ripened cheese. It tastes like a brie. It's got, when you get with the brie, the triple cream, it's really, really creamy, obviously. And it spreads on just like butter. You can go from just kind of a real creamy with a buttery flavor to something that's got more of that kind of pungent flavor you get from a blue cheese. And this is a little bit closer to that, the blue end of things. It's got a little bit more depth to it than a regular brie. It's really, really good, and just like you said, I could eat this stuff until my heart explodes. my doctor would actually be a little bit disappointed in me right now. I don't know. I thought that the flavoring, the flavor pairing would work. I think one thing that we've realized, or that I've realized, is that going into these shows, I overestimate the flavor in the cigar, and I underestimate the flavor in everything else. because I feel like no matter what I do, if I'm smoking a cigar, it's going to wreck my palate, you know, whatever. Yeah. But when you're talking about even just a flavor with a brie like this or a cheese that's not, you know, like a stinky cheese, that flavor is still really strong.
Yeah.
And I think that while I enjoy the El Cedro, I think we should have gone with something, a stronger cigar. Because it's getting overpowered.
Yeah, I agree. So, interestingly enough, going from the Applewood smoked cheddar to the Gouda smoked cheddar, and the Gouda is quite mild. And what's interesting is that I actually am getting a lot of bitterness off the Gouda paired with the cigar at the end. The initial profile of the Gouda doesn't really... there's no real high notes to it. So it's tasty, but just not a good pairing at all. So far, I would say the Applewood smoked cheddar is a much better choice than the Gouda. And eventually, I'm just going to kind of make my way around here to the... I think to the Greer, which presumably might be a better match because I think the Greer is a little bit more subtle.
You're saying Greer?
Greer, sorry.
You and your weird Canadian accent, bro.
That's right. My inability to pronounce words.
My wife's all about Greer. We probably have some Greer in the fridge, and I didn't even think to look for it. one thing that that really does, and it's funny you mentioned this, the bitterness of this of the triple cream, and I don't even think of. I don't even think of a brie as having a bitter note to it, but pairing it with this, and I'm putting everything on, I'm just using a regular sweet baguette, nothing special. The bitterness is really brought out, and I don't like the pairing, but I keep eating the cheese because it's really good.
Yeah, I think with cheese, the problem is it's very much like potato chips for me. If you if you open up some cheese, there's just something about the mouthfeel of it, the creaminess, like it's just a really good mouthfeel, and you just, I mean, it's almost like ice cream. You can't stop eating it once you start.
It's a good thing we don't hang out like on a regular basis because we'd be
drunk and fat, and both of our respective significant others would probably have something to say about it.
Yeah, we would weigh 600 pounds. And a cholesterol that's just off the charts. As much as I don't want to, I'm going to move on.
Okay. So while you're munching away, we're going to do this alternatively because that seems to be working out pretty well. The Greer is interesting. I thought the Greer, and as you say, what's interesting for me of the show is even with what we learn on our independent pairings, you go into this thinking, well, I know what this is going to be like, and then your expectations are completely flipped.
Mm-hmm.
The Greer, which I thought was going to be too subtle, curiously stands up really well with the cigar. I would sort of liken it to a mid-tone flavor where it's not very strong, but it's not very light, and it seems to sort of linger and hold its own. It's actually a good combination. I could see myself eating crackers, Greer, and enjoying an El Cedro together. I think that would actually be not a bad combination. Number two would definitely be the Applewood cheddar, I think.
You found one that works.
Yeah, it's not bad. Or maybe I'm just drunk on cheese at this point. I mean, it's tough to say.
Yeah, I moved on to the... what is this here? the sharp cheddar, it's the... aged premium cheddar with hints of Parmesan.
Mm. I love cheddar cheese.
It's bold for sure. I mean, it's with cheddar. I'm sharp, extra sharp. But this is nice. You put it on just a nice little piece. You don't need a big chunk of it. Throw it on a cracker or a piece of bread or something. It's really good. But again, just overpowering the cigar. I'm a little bit disappointed that I wanted to. For us to smoke the cigar, so I take the blame, but we're overpowering it.
Yeah, and curiously, once again, I thought the mild cheddar, the cigar would overpower the cheddar, but what I'm actually finding is that, I don't know what the combination is, but interestingly enough, and normally I'm the same way, I'd go with a very aged cheddar. I like that bold, bold flavor. I went with a mild cheddar because I'm cheap. And I spent an enormous amount of money this week on pairing stuff. By the way, if you want to donate to our pairing show, we're not above taking donations because we're spending an enormous amount of money on stuff. Just throwing that out there.
You're not going to buy a motorcycle, are you?
No, no, not at all. It goes directly into the show, and what doesn't go into the show will go into giveaways. Just kidding. Don't donate. I've got plenty of money. But
you like money?
I don't even like money, really, as it turns out.
I keep talking over you, but I'm going to do it again. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit. It's better. You slice it thin, you put it on a piece of bread.
Yeah.
The bread clears everything up. So there's
yep.
lingering. It's not coating your tongue or anything like that.
Yep. Absolutely.
And it actually does pair pretty well. I mean, for me, if I was doing this cheddar and I had a red wine, I don't know, maybe a cab. Not a Pinot, that's too fruity. I think probably a cab, maybe a Zin with a little bit of pepper in it. And this El Cedro, that would be pretty damn good.
Well, for me, the mild cheddar is quite bitter, again, with the cigar. So I'm really going to just move on. And I was thinking the jalapeno Jack and the jalapeno Havarti would, you know, that peppery is blowing out, would blow up the cigar. But, you know, at this point, 50% of what I thought is wrong. So I'm just going to move on to the jalapeno Jack, which I love the idea of mixing in jalapeno Jack. Or if you've ever gotten those, I don't even know what the cheese is, but those stuffed hot peppers. I mean, I'll eat those until I regret it the next morning because, again, cheese.
Like a jalapeno popper?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's like, well, depending on where you go, I mean, it could just be a basic cream cheese.
Yep.
Could be the filling in that. Some people will get creative and put, you know, different stuff in there. Whenever I have them, I think it's just plain cream cheese. But I know the flavor you're talking about. I'm a little bit surprised with this aged cheddar. I'm normally a soft cheese guy. I mean, I want a softer blue or the brie or something like that I'm spreading as opposed to something that I'm cutting and remains solid. But the pairing is actually really good. Hmm. I feel like it's bringing out more. I think it's better for the cheese than it is for the cigar, if that makes sense.
What's interesting is, just as you said that, I just took a draw of the El Cedro after having the jalapeno Jack. And the jalapeno Jack wasn't really doing much for me. It was kind of mild with just a slight amount of jalapeno. And I was thinking, well, it's pretty weak for jalapeno. And then I took a deep draw of the El Cedro. And man, oh man, I just got a monster blast of pepper. Oh. So, interestingly enough, again, you know, what I would think wouldn't be a great pairing. Interesting draws out, if you like peppery, you'll definitely get a blast of pepper out of a jalapeno Jack and the El Cedro, which on its own, neither one seemed that peppery, and combined, you know, they combined their powers to become the pepper overlord.
Wonder Twin powers activate?
Mm-hmm.
Form of a jalapeno.
Form of jalapeno. That's pretty tasty.
Yeah, I'm... You know, we've been doing the show for a while. Like you said, this is the 9th episode. And I feel like I've learned a lot just from a trial and error standpoint, because that's all this is.
Yep.
I'm kind of surprised that this cheddar is as good as it is with the cigar. And I mean, yeah, I'm doing more for. We've talked about this before. You know, what is your goal with pairing? Is it to complement one thing, make one thing better than the other, or to make them taste good together? This probably wasn't my goal. But I think it really does bring out some flavors in the cheese that I wasn't anticipating. It's a much more full flavor, and it's actually really satisfying.
Well, I definitely regret not picking up a full-bodied cheddar. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more after we come back from our next break. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. Thanks very much. Special thanks to our AFRN listeners out there. Hope you guys are staying safe. We're doing a pairing show, which is a little bit different than what we've been doing in the past, chocolate and cheese. This particular segment is sponsored by Project Manana. If you haven't donated, man, you've got 8 days to get in there. And, I mean, I couldn't even, we wouldn't even have enough time in the rest of the show to go through the prize list because it's so extensive now.
There are some, we'll just put it this way, there are some sweet-ass prizes in there.
We're going to have to fix that in post, unfortunately, for AFR.
Fucking ass.
But, I mean, all it takes is $10. $10 gets, I mean, obviously you should be doing it because it's a great charity. It's a non-for-profit charity. They're helping out the kids, and only $10 gets you entered to win. And honestly, the number of times I've seen a guy with a $10 entrance win some of these things, it happens statistically more times than I would think it should happen. I mean, granted, I'm not a statistical guy, but it seems to happen often. So, you know what? All you need is 10 bucks to get in there. You've got 8 days to enter. We've got a ton of side raffles going. So, you know, please take the time to enter. It's for a good cause, and you can win some loot. And we know the Weasel is strong with you guys, so thanks very much for your support.
So, quick question. Since you mentioned, I'm going to keep talking about Project Mignotta real quick.
Please.
Because you had mentioned the side raffles. Now, the way I understand it is that, excuse me, there's an overall raffle.
That's correct.
Buying the ticket for. But if you buy your tickets on any specific day, there's a side raffle that specific day, correct? Or time frame.
That's exactly right. So already we had on Tuesday, our friends from Zycar provided a great side raffle. Previously in the past, Espinoza was nice enough to do a full box, an ashtray, which, I mean, I would love to get my hands on those ashtrays. I think those are the coolest things going.
Bomb ones?
But, oh, man, those are just the coolest thing ever. Totally off topic at this point.
Anyway, I wanted to clarify because I didn't know, so... If I didn't know, then nobody else knows because I know everything.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got a lot of side raffles, so take a look. It's all on our main page. You can take a look at the information on Project Mignotta itself, the extensive list of prizes, which is going to take you 3 or 4 pages to scroll to see it. And again, you got 8 days, 3 hours, and 25 minutes to enter. Appreciate your support. It's for a good cause, and the Weasel will be strong with you if you win.
There you go.
So going back to our pairing here, so what are you on right now, Rob?
I'm on this.
Now that is a funky orange color.
It looks like the orange that macaroni and cheese comes out as.
or as we like to call it, KDE, yep.
Wholly unnaturally bright orange. But it's red light. Leicester cheese with...
Oh, yeah, one of those English words.
I guess. I want to say Leicester, but there's no H, so I don't know. With chili and red bell pepper. So given the spice that we're getting off this cigar, I'm curious to see if this has the same impact that you said the jalapeno does, so I'm going to give it a shot.
And I just moved on to the Havarti, which I would say doing more for the Havarti than the El Cedro, which is a shame because I'm really enjoying this El Cedro. The Havarti has just... I'm not really picking up the jalapenos in it, but it's very, very salty. Like almost too salty for me, actually. And I'm not really getting anything back when I do either a retrohale or a regular draw off the El Cedro. So... yeah, not really a good combination. I'd say definitely so far that pepper blast from the Jalapeno Jack top. Maybe number two is the Gruyere that I'm sure I'm going to say wrong again because I have no idea how to say words. And the Applewood Smoked Cheddar, which was pretty yummy.
Did you say Gruyere right this time?
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't even know words.
So, it's funny. We're doing like all these... sophisticated cheeses, and with delicate flavors and this and this red thing with
the red beast
bell pepper. I mean, talk about something that you want to shove inside of a jalapeno and cook it. Like this is it.
Oh yeah.
It's total. It has that processed nacho cheese flavor to it. Which I love stuff that's horrible for you. So.
Wow.
Spread this on some crackers all day long, and I'm surprised because I didn't think I would like it at all. again, far more strength of flavor than we're getting out of cigar. I think I just lost John. So I'll just fly solo from here on out. There he is. So yeah, the that Leicester is, it's good, but it's this is the kind of thing, like, I'm gonna have this on Sunday afternoons when I'm watching football.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. You made me nervous when you disappeared.
Yeah, that was interesting. Apparently, no matter what you do, and I'm a pretty technical guy, no matter what you do prepare for, you can't prepare for the unexpected, and for whatever reason, my Hangout just closed down unexpectedly and then restarted unexpectedly, so it's all good. We learned to expect the unexpected. So I've actually got some wild cards here, and I know it kind of goes off of our, because you were asking me before the show, what the heck are those two slabs of sausage? I kind of wanted, because I am a big fan of pairing chicken and pork and steak with cigars. That's, I mean, usually my wheelhouse is, I'll have a really nice steak and a really full-bodied cigar from Nicaragua. That's, I mean, I love that. There's nothing better than that, except for maybe getting up in the morning and having just a really nice Dominican cigar and a cup of coffee. So I've gone with a garlic sausage, which, you know, I'm glad I'm doing this at the end because it's going to blow my palate out completely. And then a Spanish aged and dried chorizo sausage, which I kind of been eyeing up. And I mean, this could just be an excuse for me to eat because I haven't eaten yet. But I think it's going to be interesting to pair some sausage with the El Cedro. They're a little bit bolder. Might be the wrong thing to go with, but I'm a crazy man. I'm going to go with it anyways.
Yeah, I'm in fat kid heaven over here with all the cheese.
Yep.
Yeah, it's got to be Leicester. It's got to be how you say it. Anyway, if you run across this and you like the cheese that's probably too orange than it should be, give it a shot. It's pretty good. Throw that on some Wheat Thins. I'd tear it up. But now I'm really going for it, and I'm going to get in on this Stilton. I don't know if you've ever had Stilton before. Blue cheese, big, big, bold, stinky as hell, but just simply fantastic.
Yeah, so you say that stinky blue cheese, and my mind immediately goes to just a really thick, full-power Islay scotch. And to me, that would just be heaven, you know, sitting out in the cold with some blue cheese and just a mind-blowing peaty Islay scotch, and I'd be in heaven. As expected, the initial pairing with the garlic sausage and the El Cedro is okay, but that garlic is just so powerful that it's lingering, and it's really actually quite unpleasant after the fact. not a good combination at all.
Quite unpleasant.
Quite unpleasant, because I mean really what I'm getting is like a cedary, smoky garlic, which sounds kind of interesting, but it turns out practice is not really a winning combination.
No, that actually doesn't sound good at all. Sounds horrible. I tried the blue.
Yep.
Normally, I love blue cheese.
Uh-oh.
At the end, I mean, after tasting all this different stuff, really salty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you know how blue cheese will get, it hits, at least for me, I don't know how to describe it, but there's that dry, pungent flavor that hits the top back of my palate, almost back by my nose. And it always hits me there, and I can always taste it there. I don't know why. But that flavor seems to be the blueness, for lack of a better term, is a bit diluted at this point. Really, really salty.
Now, I've moved on to the chorizo. And that's actually a really interesting combination because I sampled the chorizo before I started, and it was okay. It was good. I mean, chorizo sausage is pretty yummy. And it kind of takes me back to the Jalapeno Jack where I'm getting way more pepper off the cigar, and I'm getting way more flavor off the chorizo than when I tried it on its own. I don't know how to – my mind's still trying to sort of define that. I'm getting a lot more meatiness off the chorizo, where the meatness of the chorizo was kind of sweet, but not very bold. And with the cigar, the chorizo really pops and the cigar really pops. I think this is actually a really winning combination for me, is the chorizo sausage and the El Cedro. I think I'm going to go to town because it's pretty good.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I'm digging that. I'm just gonna keep stuffing my face here.
Yeah, oddly, the cigar tastes fine. The cigar tastes fine. It doesn't make it, that's not a ringing endorsement. The cigar tastes fine after pairing it with the blue, but I think ultimately of everything, the $40 worth of cheese and chocolate and everything that I have here, I think the best pairing is the that aged cheddar. It's actually really good.
Okay. Right. Well, I didn't get to try that, unfortunately, so I'm going to go with the jalapeno jack is number one for me, the aged Gruyere, number two, and I would say the applewood smoked cheddar with the chorizo sausage is number three. For the chocolate, no question at all in my mind that the sweeter nutty milk chocolate is going to be the way to go here. For whatever reason, it's just a better combination. I think you hit the nail on the head. If you're going to go with a dark chocolate, you got to go with a really bold, peppery cigar to pair that with. Because.
And actually, thinking about the chocolate, what would have paired really well with it was the Collective. And I don't know. Recently, that's smoking pretty good right now. I was just talking to somebody yesterday. My buddy June, he's actually going to start writing for Blind Man's Puff.
And, name drop.
Yeah. And we're actually going to be doing some cross-promoting with them, too, that you guys will see in the future. But I don't know if I was supposed to say that or not. Anyway.
Breaking news.
Yeah. I was talking to June yesterday about it, and he had just recently smoked. Right, he had bought one of the first boxes. He smoked it right when he got it, and he liked it, but he smoked it. He smoked one a couple weeks ago, and he just got it. It's such a good cigar. It's now smoking the way it's supposed to smoke. And I think pairing that with some of these bold chocolates would actually work out pretty well.
I think we've talked about that in the past where we've reviewed cigars, and it's, we smoke a lot of cigars because we review cigars and we like cigars, but it's oftentimes we'll smoke something and it'll be really good, but we just get this impression that, if it just had another 60 days to rest or maybe 70 days to rest, it would really pop, and I would agree. That was kind of my impression of the Collective. Fortunately, I have a whack of them because, that's how I get paid, really, is cigars. I whore myself up for cigars, and I'm really looking forward to revisiting that coming up this weekend, maybe next.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of wrapping things up for our AFRN segment. I appreciate everyone for tuning in. We'll be here again next week. We'll try and limit the amount of weeks we miss as we wrap up the year here. Next week is going to be an interesting one. It's episode 10, and it's going to be our highfalutin pairing, which I'm pretty excited for. So highfalutin.
What does mean?
So highfalutin is kind of, it's kind of an old-timey word. Highfalutin means fancy, and we're going to go with probably some of our fanciest cigars in our cabinet, and we're going to pair it with something really fancy. In my case, I'm going to go with whiskey because that's kind of my wheelhouse, and I've got some whiskeys here that I'm really, really dying to pour. And because that's not all, we're going to have a special guest, which we'll announce when we go live, so keep your ears on. And again, that's going to be the September the 24th at a regular time of 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Hope you guys tune in, and if you have any suggestions for the show, please go to our event page and post them there.
Yeah, so we'll have a special guest, hopefully, who's going to know a lot more about the content than I do, which is a good thing.
Yeah, he's a whiskey expert. I mean, we could put him on the show. I could ask him one question. We could just let him talk for an hour, and it'll be a pretty riveting show. I guarantee.
Yeah, so that's going to be one of our better shows. Reminds me of the show that we did with the guy from Wellies. Is it Wellies?
Wellington Brewery, out of Ontario. Yeah.
But their logo has a welly in it, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That was a great show because he really knows beer, and I really want to get him back on and get a little bit more specific with some of the beer that we're talking about.
I definitely think we'd have to revisit that.
So hopefully we can do that. But this will be a good show to talk about whiskey. So I'm looking forward to that. And I just got some Hibiki, some Japanese whiskey that I'm going to be excited to pour. So that'll be fun.
All right. So this is Surgeon and Rob signing out. For other listeners, stick around for After Dark segment. And we're fucking back.
I'm really disappointed because I don't have any bread left.
That is disappointing.
Excuse me. God,
I can't eat bread, man. Like I can't eat bread in the sense that bread for me is like maybe crack cocaine is the wrong thing to say. It's probably politically incorrect, but that's like I could eat myself. I could eat my body weight in bread. And unfortunately, I've learned because I've been a fat guy and I'm no longer a fat guy. Bread is extremely caloric. I mean, it's the whole reason why society went to a farming community and everyone started doing better, because you're consuming so many calories from baked goods. I mean, a single slice of bread can have as many calories as an in-out steak. And I love bread, but I kind of had to make that mental switch that you just can't fill up on bread. You have to kind of cut that out. And so unfortunately for me, I don't eat a lot of bread anymore.
You're making me feel guilty.
No. We're on the show to get drunk and fat. I mean, to drink responsibly and eat responsibly and smoke responsibly.
I'm going to go run around the block when we're done.
That's smart.
So that'll be good. But, yeah, this was when John told me about this pairing show, I said, well, you know, I might be sick that day. unfortunately, I was sick last week and the week before, so I had to sit through it. But it was, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, for me, I don't think of smoking while I'm eating. I think of, I have a cigar. When I'm having a cigar, that's what I'm doing. That's my focus. And maybe it's just because I get too used to reviewing cigars. And I think that's one of the things that I like about doing the show with you is it takes me out of that mindset where I can enjoy the cigar just for what it is. I don't have to worry about, you know, the transitions and, you know, where the tobacco's from and what my overall experience, how would I rate my experience? I just get to enjoy it.
There is something to be said about that. As a reviewer, I do find myself sometimes a little disappointed that, I mean, we do take, I mean, obviously we're, you know, quote-unquote bloggers, but we take our reviews very seriously. And when I sit down to review, and I know Rob does the same thing, I mean, we really focus on the review. It's a pretty engaged thing, and honestly, sometimes it's nice to be able to just sit down with a cigar and just enjoy a cigar without having to really think too hard about it.
Oh, we actually had some... Did you see some of these questions that popped up?
Well, that's awkward.
We had some...
Maybe I should shut up and take some questions.
No, we got some questions here. We got some from our boy Victor Vitale. Popped in to check out the show. Let's see here. I'm going to scroll down through these. Harley Holmes says, I have no questions. I'm still in awe of the thought of this. And that's kind of how I felt. I mean, it just seems like an odd thing to do. Isaac McLaughlin?
McLaughlin, yeah.
Says, I personally never thought of choosing a food to pair while eating with a cigar because I've always figured flavor from the food aside from a drink would linger too much. And
which was your thought as well.
That's what I thought, and I think that to an extent, I proved myself right on that today, at least with the cheese. I mean, for me, it's just there's the lingering effects of what you're eating and what you're putting in your mouth and how it stays in there.
Yeah.
There's a joke in there, but I'm not going to I'm going to leave it alone. Since I'm extremely interested in this show, for that reason, so I chose a cigar based on what I've eaten for dinner, but I've never thought to include food cigars. It's a cool idea. I'm up for new stuff all the time. So thanks for the feedback, Isaac. Appreciate that. I'm just going to keep going through these.
Yeah, please do.
Victor chimed in and says, the organic 72% Trader Joe's is good. It's been a while since I've had it, but I remember its quality. That is pretty good. It's good stuff. It's more of a... It's not like a candy bar. Piece of chocolate. It's more of a, it's like a centerpiece piece of chocolate. You know what I mean? Yep. It's not. I'm not munching on a whatchamacallit, which, oh God, I do love a whatchamacallit. But maybe we should do a candy bar pairing.
That's a good idea.
Pull out some Twix. Oh, I would eat a Twix the size of a Duraflame log.
Man, I'll have to stop eating for the day before we do a chocolate pairing, and I'll be high as a kite on sugar, but I think that's probably a good idea.
How am I not 400 pounds? It's not because I exercise. Let's see. Robert Anderson chimed in with a few comments. Mr. Rob and John, the higher the number, the amount of cocoa in the bar, the better the bar.
Yeah, it's considered a more premium bar, and yeah, obviously a more expensive bar because you're getting more cocoa, and it's probably going to be a terrible analogy, but in my mind, it's sort of similar to a cask strength whiskey. You're getting more value for your money, and presumably you're supposed to get a more pure chocolate taste versus milk chocolate, where really what you're tasting is sugar and milk product.
So that's my wife and I are watching Breaking Bad. I don't know. You're familiar with it, obviously.
Rachel.
We're in the middle of the final season, and when you start talking about the higher percentage and the purity of it, I just thinking about meth.
Cooking meth. Yep.
I don't know anything about it other than what I've seen in the show, but that's the first thing that popped into my head. Great show. I can't wait to see how it ends. We've got like 7 episodes left. But Bob actually had some. His comments were really valid. Says the cheese that you picked would work better with a full body cigar. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
He nailed it there. I mean, it's something. I keep going back to the cigars that I used to smoke when I first started, like the AJ Fernandez Man of War original release and the Diesels and things like that. That were just big, big flavor pepper bombs.
Pepper bombs, yeah.
those would have paired much better with my cheese. And, you know, I almost want to do this show again and prepare for it that way and maybe do a show that's just cheese and a show that's just chocolate. Yep. Because I think there's actually enough content there to, now that we've had a trial and error episode,
yep,
to really jump in and get more specific. Because I really think there's merit to it. I think that we missed the mark on the cigar that we chose. Wrong with the cigar. It's a great smoke. It's just this isn't the right venue for it.
And I think what we're learning as we go is that one cigar can't be everything to every product or drink that you're tasting with. There's going to be hits and there's going to be misses. And, you know, sometimes they're complementary and sometimes they're contrasting and sometimes they're just terrible. And, you know, while it's going to pair well with some things, it's just going to not be good with other things. And we're definitely learning that.
I can't remember what I was smoking when we did the soda show.
I don't remember either.
But whatever it was, and I paired it with
the cream soda?
I paired it with ginger ale, and it tasted like bile.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you said, downright awful. That in my head is a downright awful pairing. I'm going to have to look back and see what it was that I smoked. But, yeah, that did pair well with the cream soda. That was legit. It was the La Gloria Cubana.
Oh, right.
You did the Esteli and I did the Black.
That's right.
And, that's right. So that was with the, with the ginger ale, that was just horrible.
Not a good combination.
Things independently, I love them. I really like that cigar and I love ginger ale, but together, oy, it was bad times. Let's see, one more comment from Bob. He says, John, you can get good chocolate at Cost Plus. Do you guys have Cost Plus up there?
No.
Cost Plus World Market.
Nope, sadly we do not.
It's an interesting store. They've got everything from like plates to furniture to imported chocolates and imported beers and imported wines and things like that. And he's right. They do have a lot of different styles of chocolates and things. They used to do this. I don't know if they still do, but you could go in there and they would have a wall that was different beers. Some would be imported, some would be domestic, and you get them one. You get a little older, and you'd fill up your six-pack. And that was where I was able... I tried some... there was one beer that I really liked. It was called Blackened Voodoo. And it was from... it was brewed in New Orleans. It was really good. Speaking of beer, going back to one of our other shows, I was out running errands today, and I drove by that liquor store that I got all the beer from, I had to stop in and get more of that Aphrodite.
Yeah, that's great
from
stuff.
Your Canadian brewing. And there was they had like 5 or 6 different beers from them. I got a couple of the Aphrodites, and then I got one. I don't remember what it was called, but it's a coffee stout.
So man, I love me some coffee stout. Oh, yeah.
So I'm curious to see what that's about. And then they had one that had, it was Eagle Twin Brewing, which is East Coast, and it's a smoked porter.
Ooh.
So I was intrigued by that. And I don't know if I talked about this on this show, but when my wife and I went to Chicago, we went to the Speakeasy Bar, and they had a drink that I got, and I'm gonna look it up here because I took a picture, but they had tobacco bitters in the drink.
Interesting.
And I asked the guy about it, and they make it there themselves. They called it the drink was called Just Another Tuesday. It was Old Granddad 114, which is a bourbon. Burr, I don't know what that is. BYRRH.
I have no idea what that is.
Cynar, I don't know what that is either. CYNAR and tobacco bitters. Basically, to me, it tasted like an odd combination of an old fashioned and a Manhattan, but had that kind of fruitiness to it. It also had that that dryness that you get from the vermouth, even though there wasn't vermouth in there.
Interesting.
Tobacco bitters gave it this really earthy flavor. It was inside, and we were in Chicago, and I was with my wife, so I wasn't smoking this cigar. But if I could get that cocktail and pair it with a cigar, that would be fantastic.
So, switching gears off of our questions for a second, we were talking before the show, because it's football season, and I'm a huge fan of NFL football. You're a huge fan of NFL football. Why don't we talk maybe our quick... not all of them, but maybe just our quick picks. What do you think are going to be the lock games as you see them going into Thursday and this weekend? What do you see as maybe your top three games?
I'm pulling up ESPN right now because I don't know what the schedule is. So if you guys have ESPN in the background, I apologize.
Well, I'm gonna go crazy because I got my picks ready.
You put me on Front Street because I didn't know this was something that we had. You mentioned it.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. So Thursday night, Tampa Bay. Are we going through all of them?
We can. I mean, we got time.
Let's do a real quick one. Thursday night, Tampa Bay.
Rob's pick of the week. Rob picks of the week.
Oh, my pick of the week?
Your picks.
You go first. Let's go through your picks. Prepared, and I'll get mine.
Okay. So, lock of the week for me, New England over Oakland. No offense to the Oakland Raiders. I know that Catfish is a huge Raiders fan. The Patriots are going to mop the floor with Oakland. It's in New England. You can't beat New England at home. You can't beat Tom Brady and the Patriots, and the Raiders cannot beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. That's the Cigar Surgeon Stone Cold Lock of the Week of the Century. There's no way the Raiders are beating the Patriots. That game is a lock.
And this is, you know, just for fun. Looking at this schedule, there's a lot of games that I would pick. If I had to go with a lock, I would probably have to say the Colts over Jacksonville.
Wow.
In Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I think that would... I think Andrew Luck is on the verge of mega stardom.
Okay.
Maybe not mega stardom because he's in Indianapolis, but he's a stud. I would take the Colts over Jacksonville for sure.
Okay. So I'm going to quickly run down. I'm going to go Falcons over Tampa Bay. I think Falcons just can't be stopped in the air, not by Tampa.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the wild card, Buffalo over San Diego. Normally I wouldn't pick Buffalo, but you know I've seen some great things so far this year. Hopefully they don't embarrass me with that pick. I'm going to go Cincinnati over Tennessee. I think Cincinnati is going to be the team to beat in the AFC this year. They're really looking hot. Cleveland Browns over Baltimore. I'm probably going to regret that pick, but the Browns have been hot, and they're on a streak. I'm going to go Lions over Green Bay. I think my Jets really exposed Green Bay last week, a really strong defensive team, really rattled them. Obviously, it's Rodgers, so he came back and beat the Jets because it's Rodgers and he's an elite quarterback. But I'm going to go with the Lions. I am also going with the Colts over Jacksonville. New England over Oakland. I'm really torn in the Saints-Vikings game because the Saints just have not been playing well. But at home, it's their home opener. I just don't see the Saints losing against Vikings. I think I'm going to go with the Texans over the Giants. The Giants have just not been playing good ball. Eagles, I don't know what to make of them this year, but I'm going to go with the Eagles over the Redskins. Cowboys over the Rams. Cardinals over your 49ers, which I know is probably going to be a contentious pick, but, man, the Cardinals have been playing good ball, and it's going to be probably the game of the week to watch in terms of entertainment value, but I think Arizona's going to pull that out. Miami over KC. Thank you, NFL.com, for reloading, because I really appreciate, you know, as I'm reading off the picks, not being able to see them. I'm going to go with Seattle over Denver, because you just can't beat Seattle at home. It's Seattle at home. Panthers over Steelers, even though I think that's going to be a game that's going to be right down to the wire. And last but not least, my Jets versus Dub Bears. And I just want to say something to all the haters out there. The Jets are the number three defensive team in the league right now, number one defensive rushing, number one rushing team, and people are talking crap about Chicago's defense. Chicago's defense is ranked 16th right now. I'm going to go with the Jets over Chicago, presuming that the Jets don't shoot themselves in the foot yet again. Jets over Chicago.
Can I ask a question?
Go for it, brother.
Who have the Jets played?
So far this year?
Yeah, the Raiders and who else?
The Raiders and the Packers. And I don't know if you watched the Packers game. You probably didn't, because it's the Jets, and you could care less.
I don't have the ticket or anything like that. So
the Jets came out of the gate, and this is going to be a bone of contention, but they were handily beating Green Bay. In fact, it looked like it was going to be a blowout by the half. I think the Jets were at something like 21-3 by the half, which was crazy, and then in typical Jets fashion, they just completely self-destructed in the second half. And not to take anything away from Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers is amazing. Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson is a combination that is really, really tough to beat, and they came back and won the game.
We had another comment here. Yeah, no, I speaking of teams that dominated the first half and shit the bed in the second half, my Niners were tough to watch last week.
I bet.
I'm just going to go through and pick just pick real quick. I'll take Atlanta over Tampa Bay, Indianapolis over Jacksonville. I'm going to take the Niners over Arizona. I think this will be a statement game for the 49ers, one way or another. Either they're going to come in and slap Arizona around a little bit, or they're going to – I think we'll find out who the 49ers are this week, even though they've got some injuries. I like Buffalo over San Diego. I think Buffalo's looked pretty good. They can run the ball a little bit. They can throw the ball a little bit, and their defense looks like it's okay. Not great, but it looks like it's okay. I think they can beat San Diego at home. I think the dog shit game of the week is Dallas at the Rams, because who cares?
Yep.
They're just horrible, horrible teams.
Yep.
If the Rams are going to win one game this year, it'll be this one. The Rams might be the worst team in the NFL. That's a really big compliment to the Raiders.
Well, it's unfortunate. I mean, you lose your quarterback, right?
Of course. That's tough. Yeah, that's tough. Although, the last time the Rams lost their quarterback in the preseason, they won the Super Bowl.
You heard it here first, folks.
Oh, you know what? They didn't win the Super Bowl. Yeah, they did. They did. They won that year. That was the Kurt Warner. I'm not bagging groceries. I'm throwing touchdowns here. Washington at Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia's going to win. Washington's not very good. Giants at Houston. You know, I think Houston's going to win that game. And I think Houston's going to be a pretty good team this year. Their defense is stepping up. Even though they lost Clowney. New Orleans and Minnesota. Minnesota at New Orleans. I think you're right. The Saints are going to win that game. Tennessee at Cincinnati. Tennessee's defense looks good.
It does.
If there's no A.J. Green, that's a tough game. That's a tough game. That might be the most entertaining game of the week. I don't know. I'll probably go Tennessee in that game.
Okay.
Cleveland and Baltimore, I don't care. I think Cleveland, should be undefeated, and I think Baltimore is not a very good team. I think Joe Flacco is easily the most overrated quarterback. I'll take Cleveland. Detroit and Green Bay. probably Green Bay. Oakland at New England, it's not even close. I think Denver's going to go in and beat Seattle.
Wow. Okay. That's a bold claim, my friend.
I think Denver's they're still chapped from the Super Bowl. I don't know. I could see Denver going in and beating Seattle. Kansas City and Miami, I think that's actually a pretty good game, too, even though...
Absolutely. That's going to be a slugfest.
I think it's a good game between two teams that aren't that good. well, I shouldn't say that. They're good teams. They both have solid defenses and decent offenses. It's just going to be kind of a plodding dink and dunk kind of game.
Yeah.
12-6 type.
Yeah.
17-10 or something.
Yeah, 14-10 or something like that. 14-9, yeah.
I'll take Miami in that one. I feel like their passing game is just a little bit better. Well, actually, it's a lot better. Alex Smith is not very good. Pittsburgh, Carolina. I'll take Carolina. I think Pittsburgh is dog shit. Jets and Chicago. Honestly, man, the Bears won that game on accident. They didn't win. Like, they should get half a win, and the Niners should get 2 losses. Because and obviously it was personal for me, but it's like, to me it felt like when you're playing 21 against your little brother, who's, like, you're 16 and he's 9, and you're, like, a foot and a half taller than him, and so you let him make a few shots, and you're just kind of screwing around doing, like, I'm shooting behind my back and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden you lose, and you're like, oh, shit, what happened? That's how that felt to me. So I'll take the Jets.
Nice. Well, you're here to hear first, so follow up next week, see if we did well or did poorly. Don't bet based on our picks, because I'm sure you'll lose. And we'll see you all here again next week, Wednesday. Tune in, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I keep thinking my time zone. Highfalutin. If you got some good stuff, tune in, pour something good. We're going to go back to beverages next week.
Yeah, next week will be fun. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rob.